We don't have to try any harder. We don't need to fight anymore. We don't have to try
any harder. Hey, Jacob.
Hi, Scott.
It's been a minute again.
It just keeps being a minute, doesn't it?
It sure does. My a friend of mine sent me a text the other day. She's like, I've been meaning to tell you, I'm so impressed that you and Jacob have recorded 49 episodes. She's like, that's incredible. And it really kind of is. That's a lot of podcast episodes to record. This is our 50th. Wow.
This is 50. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why we felt, you know, I love lighting a candle at the beginning. A lot of times at the beginning of a client session or a workshop, I'll light a candle and it reminds me to arrive here. So Scott, you thought that I was getting a candle earlier. So you said, are you going to light a candle? And I'm like, no, it's what a great idea though. So I'll use this beautiful to invite us
for
all
those
to
of you who are not watching. Jacob just lit a green candle. to bring us into this episode.
Well, what I did go get was this morning I got out of bed early and went to the coffee shop and
nice. Yeah,
there's this local artist you know, and she made these, yeah, for those of you who can't see this, I'm holding up a coffee cup that says I am an artist, and it's made by hand and made right here in Boise. So these just showed up this morning, Scott.
It's beautiful. It's much more than a coffee cup. It's a gorgeous mug, like a really beautiful ceramic mug, right?
Yeah. She just got them kilned yesterday. So I have pictures of the stage. This one says, I am a writer. And when I put them out there, okay, so the quick story there is Rachel, my girlfriend, I went to this place called Primal Coffee, dropped a copy of The Creative Cure off, like as I do. And I wrote inside the cover, if you pick this book up, you're an artist. And Rachel went back there a week or so later and saw this lady reading it. And she said, oh, I know, that's my boyfriend who wrote that. And so they ended up with this conversation. And the lady said, I make these mugs. She's the owner's mom, this coffee shop. And she's like, I make these mugs, but I never even thought of them as art. I just really love making them. And the walls were just lined. These shelves were lined with these gorgeous custom mugs. And I'm like, so I went back and met with her. I said, I want a version of that for our people. And Scott, the I am, as you know, there's such a powerful thing about being able to claim an identity that's aspirational, you know? And so that's really the reason behind that, is to help people have an artifact that reminds them of their determination to become something.
That's beautiful. So are you selling them through your website, or like what's happening with them?
Yeah. I'll have that up in about the next day. It's not ready yet, but I put pictures out along the way, and people are like, oh my God, I want three. I'm like, I'm sorry, we can only do two at a time here, because we're very limited. So
they're beautiful. And how wonderful, you're supporting her art. She must be thrilled, I'm assuming.
So excited.
Yeah.
I love the bringing together of, you know, I've always had a desire to create a mug like this. I mean, always, really, for years and years. And then here's this person who has a gift, and I love bringing that desire and gift together, because to me that is really the free market. That's really the beautiful side of actual enterprise exchange like that out there, you know.
I love that, and you're keeping it local.
Yeah, yeah.
Beautiful, man. How are you? What's happening?
Well, we talked for a minute. I swam up from the bottom of, like, I think 7 miles deep in sleep this morning. I swam to the top, and then I put my hat on and went to the coffee shop to pick up these mugs, and then came back and crawled in bed. So I'm still a little groggy, but I'm so glad to see your face.
I'm glad to see your face too. Yeah, I'm going on about maybe 3.5-4 hours of sleep. And you know, it was one of those things, I woke up and I knew I wasn't going to fall back to sleep right away, and then finally just embraced. I'm getting better at embracing being tired throughout the day, because for whatever reasons, I mean, the altitude, I guess, is the obvious reason, and I've heard it many times from many people, but I do not sleep particularly well in Santa Fe. I don't get a lot of hours, and I always wake up really early. I resist that feeling. It's not fun necessarily to be groggy throughout the day, but what I'm, and I take naps regularly, which helps, but I also realize, you know what, you can just be groggy throughout the day and still do everything you were going to do. And I think it can be particularly hard though, to be creative for me, to write, to focus in that way. Like doing other things is easy, running errands, doing logistics, but even that, you know what, I'm not gonna lock myself into that story either. Yeah. I'm sure there are, I have certainly written things when I was very tired, and it is possible, you know, so I'm going to embrace the possibility of being everything while tired. That's been my mission. And getting better sleep as well.
I mean, that's so interesting. I wasn't aware that the altitude was a factor. That's interesting.
I talked to a lot of people here who don't sleep particularly well, or don't sleep for particularly long, and they credit the altitude.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Have you ever tried a weighted blanket?
You know, I have a weighted blanket. And now that it's been put away, and I completely forgot about it until you brought that up. Actually, I still wasn't getting a ton of sleep with it, but I loved it, and it's cold now, so it's a beautiful thing to integrate back into life. Yeah. So
I just got one, and you know, I found that if adding a little weight, and that book Why We Sleep that I read last year, so influential for me. That's one of the things he mentioned about. Just settling the nervous system down enough so that it can sleep. So I've been happy that seems to be helping me a bit.
Nice. Our friend David Gandelman sent me a weighted blanket as a gift. We had a conversation like, have you ever tried a weighted blanket? And I said, no. And then a week later, there was a weighted blanket in at my home. Yeah, that's it was really sweet. Yeah, they're great though. For all those listening who don't know what weighted blankets are, they're heavy blankets, but like heavy blankets. I mean, I think mine is maybe 10 pounds. Does that sound right? Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you feel like for some people don't like them at all. They feel, my sister feels completely suffocated by a weighted blanket, but for me, I feel really cradled by it, like really protected and held by it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. You know, mammals, co-regulate, and if we can sleep well with another person, a lot of times our bodies will co-regulate, and it's a really good experience. Some of us don't sleep well with others, just kind of in general. And I think that I can go back and forth with that, but you know, I've slept alone now for a really long time, for a lot of years, and something about that extra weight definitely makes me, I love the word you use, cradled. Yeah, I feel held.
Yeah, and how do you do sleeping with another person?
Lately a little better. Rachel and I have not, she has little kids at home, and so there's not a whole lot of sleepovers, but when we do it, we seem to do pretty well. But no, it's interesting. And sometimes people's energy bodies, doesn't mean they're not a good match, you know, and as partners, but their energy bodies just don't do well together either, you know?
Yeah. With my ex Goran, it's funny. My hands and feet are always cold. Like they don't feel cold to me, but especially in the winter months, like they're like icicles. Oh, and yet in bed, my body heat, I become an absolute furnace. And Goran, I mean, we were cuddlers always, and would cuddle and then he would be like, get away from, you're burning me. Literally, it's like, move away. Like a king size bed was absolutely mandatory in our relationship, because he had to roll away at some point while I was heating up. Yeah. So what's happening? What do you feel like talking about today?
Well, I was just going to ask you if you were to, you know, we've been both traveling and doing things. I'm curious if you sort of have a energetic collective read, anything that, you know, that might bring up. What do you feel like is going on in the world right now through your antenna?
You know, what I was feeling for many weeks going on was what we were talking about, a very destabilized energy, a lot of ungroundedness, a lot of people in the muck. Mm-hmm. And maybe this is just wholly self-focus, because I've gotten to the other side of several weeks of feeling like I was in the muck, and now feeling like I've surfaced from that place. So I don't want to say necessarily that's how everybody is, but I feel like in talking to friends, the general energetic tone is not one of being mired in darkness right now. There's a little bit of clearing, a little bit of light. And again, of course, this isn't, I'm sure there are many, many people, many of you are listening to this and you're probably in the muck right now. And others maybe have been flying high for weeks. I don't know. So this doesn't, I can only speak to the conversations I'm having, and it feels like a general shift away from. What about you?
Well, yeah, I love you said that. I mean, I feel like anecdotally, same on my side, I've been picking up a lot more a sense of like, you know, lightness of being, or at least a sense of, okay, I'm still working through a bunch of stuff, but I'm at least my feet are on the ground. And it was interesting, the Power Path folks, Jose and Lena, they live right there. They do a monthly update, and their theme, you know, so they'll kind of publish a theme for October is, you know, October was tumultuous transitions. And, you know, the last 2 years, the themes have been like really intense, Scott. And it's been interesting. The last 2 months, the themes have gotten lighter. So it's like the main theme for December is get inspired.
Nice.
Yeah. And they say December's a big month, not entirely all beauty and fun, as we are still under sluggish influences, keeping us focused internally, filtering and weeding out debris of old emotional baggage, relationships that don't support us, habits that don't serve us, and responsibilities that are not ours. The good news is that we are very slowly moving out of the intense grind of the past several months that for many of us have been very challenging. So, you know, they go on from there. I'll actually put the link to that in the show notes.
Yeah. Beautiful. You know what I've been feeling is, oh God, why am I stumbling so much? I think from lack of sleep. What am I trying to say? You know, I sent out a newsletter recently, and the theme of it, I titled it "The Mantra That Saved Me From Myself." And in these past weeks, the one thing that I was returning to as all of my tools were not working. Meditation, breath work, walks, conversations with friends, all of the things that, you know, I typically do that help bring me back to center, help me ground, they weren't really working. I think they're always of service, so I'm always trusting that whenever I'm putting energy to mindfulness, they're serving me, but they weren't helping to guide me out of the funk that I was in. And the one thing I just kept returning to was, this too shall pass. You know, it truly is one of my very favorite mantras. It for me, because when you can't hold on to any other truth, I feel like that is a truth no matter what I'm in, that it always rings true. I never feel when I'm saying that to myself that I'm trying to sugarcoat anything that's going on. I feel like I am just speaking a universal truth. Nothing lasts forever. So what you're in right now, and your inability to connect to your heart, your inability to connect to a lighter way of being, your inability to connect to any sense of hope is not forever. It's just what's happening right now. And for me, that is the most comforting phrase. I didn't know. Did you know that Abraham Lincoln, those words are credited to medieval Sufis in the Persian tradition. But Abraham Lincoln used it in a speech, and he was extolling the virtue of that phrase, "This too shall pass," and which I thought was interesting, and I think helped to popularize it in our country at least. But what about you? How do those words ring for you? What do they do for you, if anything?
Well, you know, one thing I love, Scott, is taking stock. And you know, the Power Path update goes on to say, getting inspired often requires a small action in some area that we've been feeling stuck. They're like, your inner self knows, really, it's like the process of going through these things, there comes a clarity. It's like, okay, now I know what I need to do. Sometimes that doesn't feel very inspiring. It's like, okay, I really do need to have this conversation. And so what they're saying there is, sometimes there's the work of getting inspired. It's not just jumping up and making an you know, inspiring affirmation or something. Yeah. It's like, okay, I do need to take this small action, even if it's a what feels like a tiny action, and immediately there's this energetic space that gets cleared for. I mean, inspire is to breathe, you know, I mean, that's, there's a, the word breathe is in there. And so to get inspired sometimes means we just need to create more breathing room, you know, in our lives, whatever that might mean.
Yeah, I like that. And we, you know, we've talked about small actions many times in many of the podcasts, but it really does make a difference. It really is energy. But I also want to be clear that when I was in this funk, it really didn't feel like anything was making a difference. And sometimes that's the reality too. And for me, I come back to the word acceptance a lot. That's a word that's been a player in my life for many years, and really just accepting this is where I am right now. And this is what's happening, and it's possible no action I take is going to matter. And I don't say that to dissuade us from taking positive actions and moving forward. And just recognizing sometimes life, for me, is just pushing me to just be okay with where I am, even if where I am feels like shit. You know, well, that's what it feels like anyway. It's like, just, you feel like shit now. And that's part of this human story too.
Yes. Yes. I mean that, well, and here's an example. If you look over my shoulder, Scott, you can see a stack of boxes. And I moved into this house during the process of producing that writer's retreat. And so I came home from that, still boxes everywhere. This house is configured differently than the one I was in. So I need some sort of expert help in how to place some things like bookcases. So there's all these like, well, I can't unload the boxes because the bookcases aren't in the right spot. And yeah, it was just feeling, so I would just notice when I would come home, I would feel heavier when I would walk in the door because everything is just in this state of being unfinished. And so just the other day I grabbed Jay and I said, hey, would you mind helping me? So we took 5 minutes and we just moved the boxes into a neat stack, made room. Our house cleaner came the next day. It was just interesting. I really couldn't yet do anything about the whole project to finish it, but yeah, there was something about even just rearranging it that made it feel like, okay, I've done something. So my house feels better now, even though it's not done.
Absolutely. It's all energy. I say that all the time, but that is exactly what you're speaking to and what you're doing, just moving the energy, playing with the energy, shifting it a little bit. That's a
great way to put it. Actually, literally moving the energy.
Moving the energy. You know, and that is, I think, one of the most effective ways. I know your kitties are making appearances in the background. It's great. One of the most effective ways to get unstuck is literally move energy. I mean, that's one of the reasons I love breath work so much, because that's essentially what breath work is doing. It one of the things. It's just moving energy, clearing stuck energy. I was just in Mexico for a week at a retreat the organization's called the Modern Elder Academy. And it was co-founded by my friend Chip Conley. And they're committed to changing the conversation around midlife. So I would say the median age there was probably late 50s. Most of us were in our 50s, handful of 60-year-olds. There was one 39-year-old, and I think he was the only person under 50. And the theme in general, I think, for a lot of their workshops, and this one, was around transitions. And they were speaking to the reality that as we come into midlife, there aren't a lot of rituals in midlife. There aren't a lot of, we don't really learn how to be with midlife, and people are living longer. And so, you know, if you're living to 80 or 90 and you're maybe retiring at 65, a lot of people who are retiring aren't really stopping working. They're just stopping maybe the job they've been doing. And so what next? If you have 30 more years ahead of you, or even 20 more, 25 more years. And it was a really powerful experience in an extraordinarily beautiful location in Baja, in a town called Pescadero, about an hour and 15 minutes from Cabo. So it was just beautiful. And the place was like exquisitely designed, and the food was sensational. It's right on the beach. And the community of people who were brought together to consider the transitions that they're making right now And the reason I brought it up because it's what I just experienced, and I feel like it was in part what helped me move through the funk I was in and feel a little more grounded and a little more clear, even though I'm not necessarily clear about all the choices I want to make moving forward. I feel more centered in that unknowing. But it was really what was most powerful about the experience there was how masterfully they foster community in the cohort that comes together. And we were a big group. We were a big group of 26 people who came together for a week and are with each other all day. And I tell you, by the end of that week, Jacob, and you know this from having led retreats and participated in them, there's something really special that happens in these types of retreats. And even though I didn't have the opportunity to necessarily have a deep one-on-one conversation with everyone there, by the end of the week, I felt like I had a very clear sense of who everyone was. And there was this familial energy between us all. And it just reinforced to me what I have known to be true for a long time, but am really coming to experience the truth of it in my life in deeper ways, which is that community is such a big part of what creates contentment in our lives. And for those of you listening who might be like, well, I don't have community, that is not an experience in my life, I would implore you to consider what it is you are doing intentionally to create more community in your life. And if that's something you're not having and you're feeling the hole, and you're feeling a desire for it, be proactive in creating it. That is one of the great gifts of the internet, is the potential to create community. Even if it's cyber community, there's very real energy exchange that happens in cyber community. And then wherever you live, if it's possible to do it there, because, you know, I'm someone who steers toward isolation very naturally. And when I was in the funk, I was doing that. And I, you know, you too, I mean, we like a lot of our space and alone time. And yet, I feel most fulfilled in my connection with others. Mm-hmm. And that was highlighted again for me.
I'm trying to remember the Buddhist term for community. It's right there. I wrote about it in The Creative Cure. But compassionate community, and what I just wanted to take off of what you talked about there, like intentionally putting that together. And they talked about it when you're in that community. God, the word will come to me in a moment. When you're in that community, though, it's as if you get to become part of. They say it's like you're a drop of water that becomes part of the pond, and you feel seen and heard. I'm convinced, Scott, that probably one of the greatest problems we face in the world, with the hyper levels of, you know, quotes, connection we have, is a feeling of isolation. And frequently that isolation is brought on by a sense of shame. I don't belong here. I don't belong anywhere. You know, when people go through relationship transitions and job transitions and everything else, but if we forget the kind of fabric that creates for life. So as much a believer as I am in transitions and initiations, we have to realize that going through those things can often lead to a period of time of feeling like the fabric of life isn't holding us well, you know?
Yes, I do know. And, you know, Jacob, when what was coming up for me at the beginning of this week, go by MEA for Modern Elder Academy, was how introverted I truly can be. And being around 20 some new people, and at dinners and conversations and everyone talking, there were so many times I was internally checking out and feeling this wild discomfort inside, especially in the first probably day and a half when the conversations are more superficial, which I inherently reject anyway, even though I participate in them because it's what we do, you know. And playing with a couple things. One, looking at the part of me that is genuinely, can be genuinely introverted and is wholly uncomfortable in those dynamics at times,
mm-hmm.
while wanting to honor that, while at the same time not wanting to bind myself to the stories around it, and at the same time wanting to gently nudge myself to go beyond some of the instincts that that introversion brings up, which is essentially to escape, like mm-hmm. to go back to my room and not participate. And so being with it, like being with the discomfort I'm feeling and just acknowledging it, like, yeah, this is real. This is what's going on. This is in part who I am and how I respond to these dynamics. And what happens if you stay at dinner a little longer than you mm-hmm. want to right now? It's not going to kill you. Maybe there's an opportunity to have a conversation that's a bit deeper, more connected. And mm-hmm. and so it's, I feel like part of this journey through life is that. It's looking at how we're showing up and looking at places where we can nudge ourselves to potentially expand beyond how we're inclined to show up, but not from a place of disparaging our natural inclinations, from a place of opening ourselves up to the possibility of being with who we are in a more expansive way and seeing what gets created in that expansiveness.
Yeah. Yeah. When you are running your inner test to go, how do you differentiate between when your inner self is saying, no, I really do need to go and withdraw and be alone, or no, this is not comfortable, but I'm feeling like I need it. How do you know the difference between when you really need to stay connected?
You know, I mean, sometimes when things get so uncomfortable that it's like, I'm done, like I'm leaving, you know, that's obvious. But also it's about what was my intention for showing up to the thing in the first place. Mm-hmm. I didn't agree to go to this retreat because I wanted to isolate in my hotel room and not a retreat room and not be a part of the community experience. That wasn't my intention. So because community is very important to me, and because creating and fostering community mandates engaging with other human beings, you know, I wanted to honor that deeper intention, which I think was a part of what allowed me to stay in places and be in that discomfort a little longer than I might have otherwise. So I think it's very easy when our innate personality traits are coming into play, it's very easy to run. And so for me, the invitation I'm presenting to all of us is not to dishonor what feels true for you, but to sit with it for a moment, welcome that part of who you are to the experience, and then just see mm-hmm. if you nudge yourself to hold out a little longer, what you can make available by doing so. And if by doing so, you're seeing that energetically you're actually really closed, like you are locked into that personality trait in a way that doesn't allow you to be open to the experience, and you're just getting more and more comfortable, then go do something different for yourself. Walk away. yeah, move the energy. So get up from the table and leave. And what I did a couple times, I was inclined to leave, and instead I left to go to these steps down to the beach and just sat by myself for however many minutes, and then would return to the group, you know. And that's a way, you know, we can always look at ways to take care of ourselves, to make ourselves more comfortable within the context of uncomfortable situations. And instead of just saying no to the situation, if it's something that our heart is also calling us to be a part of, instead of just going to a no, ask yourself, well, how can I invite a yes and create a circumstance that allows me to show up for this yes with some sort of comfort?
Yeah. So it's fascinating. It's over in the other corner right now, but I'm playing the guitar. I'm working at that this year, and it was on my list for the whole year. I got very busy. I have tremendously legitimate excuses for why I did not get to it earlier, but I went and hired a guy here in town who is an amazing guitarist as my teacher. And so I had my second lesson on Friday, Scott, and I'm sitting there, you know, I'm 49 years old. I have not played an instrument regularly for a really long time. And so I'm sitting there making my fingers do things they don't want to do. And then the second lesson, I said, you know, I really loved to be able to do a very simple song by the end of this year. I said, great, you can do it. And so, you know, he sat down and wrote out how to do Silent Night. And then he says, okay, you know, it's just like this. And he sits down and he moves his fingers. And it's like, of course, it sounds glorious. Right. And then I sit down and I can't even make the one chord. And I've got, you know, not two or three weeks left to the end of the year. And it was interesting to feel so clumsy and inept and uncomfortable, right? And I sat there and I'm realizing this is why we start to die. Because here I am at a, you know, middle age and I love my life and I have a lot of things I am good at. Why would I try to do something I'm not good at? Mm-hmm. And I think that unless I'm willing to go through the beginner's mind phase again and sit there and just wrote, you know, practice the chords. And this is a desire I have, and it's a connection in my life that's really important to me to deepen my relationship with music again. And so that's just one example. And I think it ties into what you're talking about there, because moving toward middle age, our minds begin to say, you've seen everything you need to see, mm-hmm. learn everything you need to learn. Mm-hmm. And so it begins to shut things down. And so to me, that next year, I intend to begin, you know, in earnest to learn a foreign language, for example, once mm-hmm. again, on purpose, because I mean, in addition to wanting to be able to go to a place and actually experience it with a different understanding that only language can give. In addition to that, I want to keep staying alive inside of my life. And that's sometimes uncomfortable.
Absolutely. And so important what you're saying. I really believe that. I'm not necessarily practicing it right now, but just the idea of learning new things, being a student of different things, picking up your interests, letting go of that internal dialogue that says you're too old to start this. You know, you should have done it however many years ago. It's all nonsense.
It's nonsense. You know, well, yeah. if I may reflect, to acknowledge your progress, I mean, you've really established yourself in a new town, and you also added this incredible entire modality to your work this year, Scott. You went and learned breathwork.
You're right. Good point. I am learning new things.
I mean, genuinely, you know, sometimes we learn some new things or get taken out of our comfort zone by life itself, you know, move. I mean, that's a big deal. Change jobs. That's a big deal. But, you intentionally went and that were inspired by that and then went and invested time and energy to learn it. And I love that part of your work.
Thank you. Are we going to, so at some point, I'm certain the answer to this will be yes, but I don't know if the answer to this will be yes today. Would you like to maybe at the end of our talk, play some guitar for us?
yes, not today, but yes.
Okay. Whenever you're ready.
Rig is me building chords very painfully. Pling, 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 pling. As proud as I am of that small advance, I don't think the rest of the world wants to hear it quite yet.
And have you chosen the language that you want to learn?
You know, when I was a kid, I wanted to learn French. I feel like Spanish would just be, I love going to Mexico and you know, Spanish would be a very practical thing. And I know parts of it already, so... when I say parts, but I mean like five words.
Hola, el baño.
Maybe seven. Yeah, el baño. I can ask where to go to wash my hands, you know, things like that.
Exactly, the important things.
I can say thank you a lot.
Yeah. So what else is happening in life?
You know, I'm sitting with this year that feels like such a blur. And I love reminding all of us that every single day is the beginning of a new year and all of that. And I think the fact that humans are wired to, you know, come into winter with this sense of, okay, we completed a cycle around the sun. So I do love to use the end of the year as a reflection time and as a time when I bring additional focus to the practice of visualizing. But what I love, you know, what I love more of, less of in this new year, you know,
I love that you're bringing that up because I decided to do a workshop that I did in January of this year called Imagine It. And it's a visualization workshop. And several of the people who came have been writing me, are you going to do Imagine It again? Because it really helped launch me into the year in a positive way. So starting on January 2nd for 2 weeks, we're going to meet each day for an hour and Monday through Friday and a couple hours on Friday. And each day will be dedicated to one theme that is an important aspect of our lives, like our relationship with ourselves, our relationship with our partner or wannabe partner, our relationship to creativity, our relationship with our physical health. And we just, the session is focused on visualization, and you write into what it is you want to create for yourself moving forward. And that really powerful present tense, this is what's going on for me right now, as though you're living it. Because as you know, and we've talked about before, it's so incredibly powerful to live into what it is you want to experience before you've experienced it. The way you've been doing with Heal Plus Create, the way you've been doing with the workshops you're creating, you've been living your life as though they were happening well before they happened, as though they were successful. You've been feeling into how it feels to have thrown this incredibly wonderful workshop and retreat before the retreat and workshop was even launched. And you're seeing what gets created from that energy.
Yeah. I've come to really know, it's not just a belief anymore, Scott, that yes, the lives we are living right now are literally created by the what we envisioned in yes, years before, and we can change our experience of life. Then it's so interesting. People will say, well, I didn't envision myself, you know, in this mess of a situation, whatever it is. Like, actually, we did. Actually, if I go back to it, I'm going to be very careful here, because I know that a lot of people go, yes, that happened to me. And the answer is yes. Sometimes there can be circumstances we did. I don't want to make it sound like, oh, you create everything in your life in that way. Because I feel like that's a very simplistic answer, and it does real violence to a lot of people who have experienced things that they did not. When I look at the overall cast of my life, though, so much, I began to realize that I had been envisioning scenes of disappointment, rejection, failure, limitation, lack of money, lack of everything, love. And as I began to change intentionally, just a little bit at a time, change what I was seeing on that movie screen, it has been remarkable to me, Scott, to watch a different experience of life come into reality. It's hard to explain.
And what's so important about that, brother, is that what I feel like you're speaking to that is so essential is that we all have traumas in our lives. And we are all influenced by the traumas we've had throughout our lives. And what you're speaking to is that no matter what's happened in our lives, here we are right now. And in this moment, we can decide to be more intentional about how we're moving forward in our lives and the things that we are focused on and the things that we are visualizing, which is to say that no matter what we've experienced in our past, it does not have to define what we experience moving forward. And that's where our power lives. And when we really come to understand that, and look, I believe, I know it the way you know it, and I still forget at times to be intentional and to be focused, but I never feel as empowered in my life as I do when I remember that I am the creator of my life. Mm-hmm. And it all begins with the thoughts I'm thinking. It all begins with how I'm using those thoughts to create feelings within me. And both of those things together elicit, or are more inclined to elicit, realities that are aligned with the dreams that I want to create for myself. And
yeah,
go ahead, please.
No, I didn't want to interrupt that flow. That was great.
It was over.
You and Karen Channing and Paul David Shea are providing these incredible workshops this month in December. You're doing your breath work, and I love the title of this. It's basically remember. That is not the title, but that's in the title.
What is the title? Because you came up with the title. I just saw it after we agreed, which is great. I love the title, but what is it? Isn't that funny?
Let me pull it up real quick. But
yeah,
but I have these packaged up, Scott, on a page, and I'll put it in the show notes. We're actually doing Paul David Shea's Tao Yin Yoga Qigong is today, just in an hour or two. Yours is Breathe Your Way Home, a special breath work session with Scott. And we have a bunch of people already RSVP'd for that, Scott.
That's on the 18th for those of you listening prior to the 18th, Sunday the 18th.
Where is, and so, but I put these together and I'm bringing it up for a reason, Scott, because we're doing these as, you know, service to the whole community, anybody who wants to join us. But we get to experience a number of things during these workshops. We get to experience the practice itself. So in your case, this breath work that is, people are just like, oh my God, this, I can't believe I've never experienced that. And the Tao Yin Yoga Qigong, and then the therapeutic doodling, each one of these brings this practice of helping us come back home to ourselves. And even people go to the doodling workshop and it can be lighthearted, it can be deep, but they'll go away going, oh my God, I didn't know that the act of drawing out how I feel, or, you know, making a doodle about something I would love to create, I didn't know how that would help me come home to myself. But what else is happening? I did find the Sanskrit term for community is sangha, Scott, because what happens is people come back to these over and over again now, and they're beginning to grow the habit of, oh, I get to be in the company of other people who are committed to their own growth and healing, committed to feeling joy. So there's this mysterious connection that I've watched begin to grow stronger, where people are beginning to realize, oh, I do this every month because by showing up to this, I am connected to others who are of like mind, desire to grow. And I actually get to experience whatever it is in my body, you know? And so I've watched people who maybe would come to one and then wait for a couple of months. I'm watching them come back over and over and over again, because we actually want to create that sense of, this is how you come home to yourself. And this is how you can practice it. You know, you can practice it through breathing, through very gentle movement. You can practice it with your pen and doodle, you know?
I love that, because you're saying this is how you come home to yourself, but you're also acknowledging that part of coming home to yourself is in community. You're speaking about community or sangha again, and you're demonstrating how powerful it can be even online.
Yes.
Right? So again, for those of you who listening, who feel like, and these are the holidays, this is a time where loneliness is at its peak for a lot of people. Isolation can be at its peak for a lot of people. If that is your experience, it's not too late. You know, look at Jacob's things. He offers these things as an offering to his community. And there are any number of resources out there. And if you continue to show up, you're going to feel connection with the others who are showing up as well. Mm-hmm. And it's a game changer.
Mm-hmm. You know, Scott, I'm so glad that you brought up this time of year. I was talking with a client the other day who was saying, you know, this time of year is just always very difficult. And this person is somebody who has a like robust inner work practice and meditation and everything else. And so it's like, this person is not just staggering into the holidays with these narratives running that, you know, it'd be easy to shift. It's more like, no, this is something that goes very deep into childhood and the reasons for it. So I know that a lot of people, you know, go into this and it's not as if everyone is, you know, without a practice or isn't doing anything. So if you're feeling heavy right now, I just want to make space for that and just help you realize it's okay to not feel, like being really festive, like joining the merriment, for whatever reason. It's really okay. And if you'll keep bringing yourself back to community in some way, and my client and I, you know, I had him develop a private ritual that he was going to do we called it, let's figure out ways to steal joy back from these forces that are taking the joy from you, whether it's just the overall hectic pace or it's, you know, connected to some really old, difficult memories or maybe a combination of all those things. So he's like, oh, I love that. He's like, I can create a private ritual. He's like, I just don't get any joy from a lot of the seasonal rituals, you know, parties people are throwing and all. He's like, I just feel, but he's like, oh, but I can steal joy. I can figure out some rituals of my own that help me steal joy and help me, really love the people in my life rather than just go through the motions of merriment when I'm not feeling like it.
Yeah. Is there something that comes up for you as you're saying that, like for people who are listening, who are feeling a sense of loneliness and disconnection and not a part of the festivities. Is there a ritual or a practice that comes to mind right now? I realize I'm putting you on the spot, but you're gifted at this.
Well, yeah, I mean,
people can do.
I think that a couple things, and these sound so not ceremonial. So rituals are just simply things that we give power to and say, this is my intention in that whatever it is, whether it's words or, you know, making a statue or whatever it might be, lighting a candle. But I really love simple things like get a hold of a friend and meet, you know, like a lot of Barnes and Nobles have a coffee shop or something, go sit with a friend somewhere and maybe read a book. I know this is going to sound funny, but there's a reason for it. Read a book that you loved when you were a kid. Together. Julia Cameron one time told me about her artist date, and she was like, I know I need to get out. And so later she called me and said, you know what I did? I went to the bookstore and sat in the children's section and read The Black Stallion. She said, I used to love that book when I was young. But I think a very simple, make a date with a friend to go and just sit somewhere. And again, not part of the usual festivities, but just go and really somebody, you know, is safe, a believing mirror, somebody who you know that you'll feel seen and heard, and you can also give that gift back to them. I think something like that can go such a long way toward making it feel like I found the joy in this time that I wanted and that I needed, you know?
Yeah, that's beautiful. I love that. And just, I don't think we ask ourselves enough questions and generative questions, leading questions, like, what could I do in this next week that is likely to bring me joy? Mm-hmm. You know, what actions can I take that are likely to be a lot of fun? And then just mm-hmm. list those and then pick one, pick two, pick three, and make a point to do those things. You know, I think we can just get so caught up in whatever we're on autopilot, you know, without even considering those things. Like, we all want more joy in our lives. We all want to feel more connection in our lives. But how often are we really taking the time to sit with those desires and ask ourselves, well, how can I go about manifesting this in my life? How can I go about creating it instead of waiting for it to drop out of the sky, right? Yeah. How can I make fun instead of waiting to have fun? You know, and those types of questions, the how can I's, are automatically leading you to a yes. They're automatically leading you to answers that will get you taking action if you want to.
I love that you brought up that question, how can I? It's such a, I think we talked about it last episode. Yeah. It's such a powerful one, Scott, because you get these seeming opposites, one in each hand, and they just seem like they're in, you know, in... Not they're not going to ever work together, but by asking,
Wait, what are the opposites? I'm not following.
Oh, okay. Well, how can I? Okay. So we have two things going at the same time. Okay, I'm really feeling introverted and not at all festive this year, so I think I need to be by myself a lot. Okay, but I also feel very, very lonely. Gotcha. And this other side, it's like I really need community. So how can I? And then what I notice is by journaling, even bullet points or just, you know, free form journaling underneath that question, how can I get both things? How can I get the solitude I need and a sense of connection? Yeah. My God, it's so fascinating to watch all the inner wisdom come out of that question.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Questions are so important. They're so helpful. Truly, if we're willing to ask ourselves sometimes the tough questions or the generative questions and really answer them honestly, it is extraordinary what comes through. And then of course, once we receive the answers, it does necessitate some sort of action almost always, like being willing to follow up on the information we've gleaned from asking ourselves these good questions.
Yeah. You know, one other ritual I just wanted to mention, Scott, is the act of making something. So if it feels gross to go and, you know, just buy a bunch of Amazon gift cards or, you know, whatever at TJ Maxx, you know, maybe you pick just one person and you make something for them.
Yeah,
whether that's make an experience or you make an object, there, the act of creating something like that can be so regenerative. And I'm actually looking at these mugs right now because one of my motives in having these done was to share them with the community, but also to give them as some gifts. And it brought me so much joy, even though I didn't personally put the clay on the wheel you know, and all that. But I got to be part of creating these things, Scott, and it brings me so much joy. Like this gift to me is a deeply meaningful one that had I just ordered them from some outfit that prints them in China and shipped it, it wouldn't have been the same experience.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Do you want to wind it down? How are you feeling? Is there anything else you want to share?
I think I'm feeling like it's wrapping up also. And I'm so happy we got to have this time together. I missed you very much. It felt like weeks and weeks. What was it, like two or three?
I think it's been a few weeks. I've been missing you too. So I'm happy too. And I trust we'll record again before the end of the year. Mm-hmm. Don't you think? So we did last year, I think, right around New Year's Eve. And I'm certain we'll probably do that again. Is there anything, what do you have coming up that you want to share with listeners?
Well, there'll be more. There is a Julia Cameron workshop in January, January 4th. It's called Write for Life, and it's based on her brand new book. And that is such a really crisp, really fresh new book, very practical for writers. I mean, Julia's written so much about writing over the years, so that when she read me a lot of this book as she was writing, I'm like, oh my God, that is really crisp. So what's cool, Scott, is all the listeners have to do is pre-order the book on any place. And when they go to the website, there's a place you can generate a coupon code and get $40 off. And so it's only like $39. And Julia made a deal where she's putting her two flagship video courses on sale at 50% off for anybody who has a ticket to this. So it's a really high value workshop. I'm excited about offering it.
Oh, awesome, brother. Nice. Anything else?
I just wanted to go back to your point about this too shall pass, Scott. I feel like that's a really great way, unless you have additional things to talk about that you're offering. A couple.
Do you want me to say them now or do you want me to say them after?
Yeah, why don't you, please?
Well, one is the Imagine It workshop. It starts January 2nd. So that's a visualization workshop. We'll have links to all these things, but it's a very beautiful and powerful way to really consciously consider 2023 and beyond, but to really enter the year. We do guided meditation, then we do a writing exercise around the visualization. So it helps build a habit of meditation and visualization coming in to the new year, and it's going to be beautiful. And then also I'm signing books right now for the holidays, Just Love and Big Love. You can get them through my website. So if you want to order those as gifts for people, now is a great time to do it. And then weekly breath work as well, along with Jacob's, but I'm doing my weekly ones on Wednesdays. All right, go ahead. This too shall pass.
And by the way, I'm so glad that you're that Imagine. I just love everything you're doing there. I just can't emphasize enough to anybody listening that could be a real game changer going into the new year.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah. So this too shall pass, Scott. You and I connected during the weeks when, you know, we didn't have a chance to record and, you know, just chat, you know, we each give each other this, how are you doing, brother? You know, and just that was so big, but we were both feeling our own versions of overwhelmed or destabilized and just funky, you know, and, yeah. I loved having you there to be able to, you know, exchange notes with, but I'm just so grateful to come back to that. This too shall pass because, you know, there wasn't one big thing that happened in the last few weeks that helped me feel better, but it was little things. Okay. I do need to take more time for myself. I do need to put an autoresponder on my email and not be looking at it every day. But I'm just so grateful to return to that and sort of reiterate it, Scott, like genuinely, whatever is going on right now, especially if it feels heavy and difficult, breathe. It's going to pass. It's going to change.
Yeah. It's just what's happening right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome, brother. Well, to all of you listening, we love you. Thank you so much. If you have any questions, we haven't asked for questions in a while. Or checked. Have we checked if there are? Maybe. I'm so sorry. But send us questions or topics that you'd like us to talk about. We love responding to them, yeah. You know, and including you in this discussion.
We love you all. And thank you for being part of our community. I can just sort of feel it, Scott. It's invisible. It's connected by, you know, various things that we do and offer out there. But I can really feel a community coming together. And, you know, if you look at the story of how a caterpillar becomes a butterfly, you know, it's this in this chrysalis stage and it's soupy, but they're these imaginal cells and they find each other. And by finding each other, they create the transformation. They create the butterfly. And so I can feel a lot of imaginal cells out there finding each other through this. And that just makes me very happy.
I love that. And happy 50th episode, brother.
That's, indeed.
Like a milestone. That's pretty awesome.
I really think so. All right. Yeah. Well, I love you, brother. And love you, everyone listening.
All right. Good job.
It's up to you to choose how good it can get, how much love you can let into your life, into your heart, before your mind decides it's too much. It's up to you to choose. It's up to you to choose.